Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Him for jobs. They rejected him for positions. They rejected him to play certain keys. God took the rejected stone and made him the cornerstone of a movement that's going to change the whole wide world.
All right, that's the voice of Al Sharpton, as he was one of the many voices eulogizing George Floyd. He was laid to rest after his funeral next to his mother in Houston. 500 people were invited. Others gathered outside to pay their respects. Sharpton's right. The world will never be the same after 2 weeks ago and what happened in Minneapolis, those 9 minutes where George Floyd had a knee on his neck and the life was choked out of him. And it's the one thing all Americans can agree on, no matter what their background, that should not have happened. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. So amid that, there are polls galore over who wants to keep the police, who wants to defund the police. Where do we go from here? In Minneapolis, it certainly is looking like they are going to try to have what they're calling a police-free society. What does that look like? There is a city that did that in the past, and it was back in 2012, Camden, New Jersey, but they were rebuilding the police department. They got rid of it and started from scratch, reached out to the community, cut down on the crime that they were having. It was one of the most crime-riddled places in the United States, and not too far from where I grew up, actually, just right over the bridge from Philadelphia, and there was so much head scratching going on as to what was happening there, and there ended up being a big community movement and a better police force that worked, but it's a much smaller community than the size of Minneapolis. It's a very, very small city compared to Minneapolis, but it's not just there. There are other cities that are talking about where do we move, what kind of things can we put in place, do we take some money from the police department, the funds that normally go there and allocate it to community programs, and many, many, many places are getting rid of chokeholds and other procedures in encountering whatever it is that they are in apprehending police and apprehending a suspect. So I think some laws will certainly be changed almost everywhere. And then at the level of the federal government, there's a lot of discussions about what happens next. And it certainly has gone through the Democratic side of the chamber, if you will, the majority anyway, in the House. And now the Senate, Mitch McConnell says they're working on packaging what would happen with police and looking ahead at policies, etc. And he reached out to South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, working on this policing reform bill, as a lot of Americans are continuing to mourn and protest in the recent high-profile deaths of not just George Floyd, but unarmed black people during confrontations with police. And Senator Scott is somebody who said that he was the victim of racial profiling, even at the Capitol. So he was tapped to lead this because he has gone through it in a different way himself. And McConnell, a Kentucky Republican, acknowledged that black people in America still face widespread institutional racism. And he said none of us have had the experience of being an African American in this country and dealing with discrimination, which persists here for some 50 years after the 1964 Civil Rights Bill, and went on to say we're still wrestling with America's original sin and we try to get better. But every now and then, it's perfectly clear we're a long way from the finish line. Meanwhile, multiple Trump administration officials have insisted that systemic racism no longer plagues American policing. So again, it's that question, where do we go from here? And I think it's going to be different in different cities and towns, and what happens at the federal level and what happens locally will be much, much different. Certainly, you want to let your voices be heard, especially if your city councilors or city council is having any kind of a vote like they are in Minneapolis, where they have the majority to defund the police, the mayor putting his foot down and saying he does not think that's the answer, that there absolutely has to be reforms, but he doesn't think defunding them is the right way to go. The coronavirus, yes, we are still in a pandemic, and there's been some reaction to that. Let me first tell you the numbers. 114,000 people as of now dead, and there are over 2 million confirmed cases. 541 people have recovered. A couple of the states that were hit so hard have reopened. Here's some reaction from the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, and Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey.
Why are we reopening? Because these numbers say we can. It's no guess. There's no ideology. Based on the numbers, we can reopen.
Today, the stay-at-home order, which has been in place since March 21st, is being lifted. With more and more of our businesses reopening, we are no longer requiring you to stay at home, but we are asking you to continue to be responsible and safe.
All right, so there you go, responsible and safe. And that's the key, because there's still so many unknowns about this wicked plague that has touched all of our lives, has affected us economically, etc. And we have two very big things happening in this country that are part of the conversation. And we say we have that conversation here. This is why 15 years ago I started the show, so that all of you could react. And so many of you do that through the miracle of the internet. You can always send me your thoughts at katedelaneyradio.com. Just one at the top. This one is from Howard, who says, Kate, I just want to wish you and everybody listening to your show the very, very best. America still is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I'm stealing your words, as you say, but we have to do better. And that's okay, because we will do better in so many areas, whether it's the way we treat each other or how we handle a serious virus that has shocked us, that has ripped through our society, even though it's not as big as the Spanish flu. It still was quite scary, and lots of people lost their livelihoods, and it's tough and it's stressful, but we will get through it. I love that sentiment. Thank you for that. And I agree, because we have bankruptcies coming up. There's still lots of people out of work. There are 25,000 stores that might close. There's still talk of food shortages with the outbreaks at some of the plants. And even though we're seeing that stocks have rallied, where do they end up? Because honestly, we know that the stock market is like being at the craps table. There's a big rebound, and then it bounces back in the opposite direction. But at least psychologically, recouping some of the losses, I think, is good for many, and a sign that, yeah, again, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get through it. There are going to be companies that survive. Dunkin' Donuts is hiring 25,000 people. There are other companies that are looking for people as well. The unemployment numbers were much better than expected last time out. So absolutely, we're in this together and we can do it. Numbers coming up next.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Yes, indeed. That's why we call this segment We Can Count. The NFL and the Players Union sent a planner to the 32 teams this week outlining procedures for the full reopening of their practice facilities. They're closed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Partially open, though. It was a four-part memo to the clubs written by Commissioner Roger Goodell and approved by the NFL Players Association. The protocols focused on screening, testing, infection prevention, treatment for COVID-19, including response for new infections. Also, instructions on proper facility access, cleaning and disinfecting, physical distancing, hygiene, health, education, medical services, you get it, food prep, all that kind of stuff. And the facilities were closed in late March, but they started reopening them because you had coaching staffs that were approved to return as long as locally they were allowed to do it. Now it's the wider net that will be open, meaning the players coming back and whatnot. And it's been approved, like I said, across the board. So there you go. NFL season may roll out, might look a little bit different. Don't know. And fans will be in the stands. It looks that way, but we'll see what happens with, virus. What happens with the coronavirus? It's holding us at bay or not, because there is the reopening. If the reopening goes well and the numbers are low, then everything will be fine as far as that's concerned. How about this, Cops? Do you ever watch Cops? I remember when it first came out, I used to watch it, but Cops' six-year run on Paramount Network has come to an end. It was pulled last week in the aftermath of George Floyd's death, and it's not coming back. The They say the Paramount Network says we don't have any current or future plans for it. You know, Cops premiered on Fox in 1989. It aired for 25 seasons. So it had been around for a long time. But you think of what was featured on that show and police officers going after suspects and often what happened when they caught up with them, whether it was drugs or whatever else it might be. So I don't know that that pops up anywhere else, at least not for a while anyway. Hey, speaking of the question mark of the virus, in California, the number of coronavirus infections throughout that state continue to rise as they're lifting these at-home, you know, stay-at-home restrictions and increasing efforts to restore the shambles of the economy. On Monday of this week, health officials said about 3,100 cases had risen. It brought the total of those infections in the state 134,000. So California surpassed the 100,000 cases a little less than 2 weeks ago, and they've reported 2,000 infections every single day. Especially in Sacramento, they've seen a surge in hospitalizations, gatherings, birthday parties, funeral, that kind of stuff. See, that's, you know, that tracing and going back to why we're the people hospitalized in Sacramento County, 17 people, including 9 in intensive care. So the numbers increased to 33 hospitalized patients, and again, 14 in intensive care. The intensive care thing is worrisome. The hospital bed capacity is the key thing. When that starts to go awry, look out. Because that was the worry from the beginning, is having enough beds. What happens? What if you're that person, you're healthy, you're fine, and now suddenly you need that bed, but you can't get that bed. And then you're in that same situation of trying to combat it, and that would be a horrible, horrible place. That'd be a horrible place to be. I mean, there is nobody who wants to be in that situation. All right, bouncing back to something interesting. AMC Theaters reported a $2.2 billion loss, but they're a company that's saying, we're going to fully reopen in July. They released a statement saying that they're focused on that, on opening their theaters. So the company filed, and they were focusing on liquidity, that they were saying they have bankruptcy concerns, but if there is an ability to move forward and get going, they want to be able to do that, so they feel confident, even in these unprecedented times, that they can take certain steps that will help combat the losses that they had. And I mean, and here's the question. The one thing they can't know for sure, and I guess it also, again, depends on individual areas. Think about this as you're listening to me, and some of you could probably give a rip. Will you go back to the movies? Were you a big movie goer to begin with? Because I think movies, going to movies, has taken a hard hit anyway, and people now are streaming, and they're streaming cheaper, and will they have the want to get out? And that's sort of like a date night thing. Take the wife, take the girlfriend, take your buddies, whoever, depending on what the movie is. But will you go back? Or is that kind of, you know, is that kind of a thing of the past? I think it's a coin flip. I do. And this is from somebody who has gone to the movies a lot. Because to me, it's a good brain, I call it a brain dump, where you just are watching. You're just involved, you're watching, and you're not thinking about anything else. But they make their money a lot on concessions, and so they got to have people going back. Are people going to, you know, are people really going to do that? Or is it wishful thinking, I guess? I don't know. Not sure. North Korea. You haven't heard me talk about North Korea in a long time, but, you know, you look at North Korea, and May of last year, there was I was reading a story about like 100 ships that were gathering in the waters off North Korea. And there's a place called the Washington, it's Washington based, it's the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. And it's a nonprofit that analyzes and investigates security issues using big data. So they keep an eye on what's happening. There were two analysts in particular that were keeping an eye on the traffic in North Korean waters. And they do that because Pyongyang has been accused, oh, shocking, of selling coal and other goods, sometimes in huge quantities. And they get around the eyes of customs officers who have to enforce United Nations sanctions on North Korea, and they move goods into a port before trading, and they just move them from one ship to another at sea, and then they lie about where they came from. But again, this nonprofit is watching them, and the ship-to-ship transfers, they can rake in tens of millions of dollars for the regime there. So, I mean, worth millions of dollars. You think of 279 ships that are skirting international sanctions, but they're carrying coal, which is are they? Or are they running guns, dealing drugs, counterfeit cash? There's some question marks about that. I think it's fascinating to see what these two especially are doing and piecing it together. It's one of the more interesting stories that I've read. I'm trying to get somebody on from there to talk about it, but it's interesting that there are things that you can see from the way that they're surveilling it and watching the ship movements and figuring it out, because they weren't counting on that. So there's a UN report about it, and so they're talking about what's being smuggled, and it even could be sand, the importance of sand, which millions of tons of sand, what is a major issue in China, and there are reasons why. So they're wondering if sand is being moved, because China is the world's most voracious consumer of sand. Did you know that? They need it. So they're thinking that the North Koreans are gobbling it all up. I don't know. Fascinating to me. Lots of numbers, lots of spying from these images on North Korean, this North Korean port, and seeing what could possibly be besides coal, sand, and not necessarily the things that you would normally think, oh, we got to be worried about that. All right, the music means we're headed to our guest, who's in our virtual green room. Her name is Andy Berger, and she's written a book called A Fragile Thread of Hope. She has an interesting story about human trafficking and what happened to her in her life, and this amazing organization that she's set up to help homeless kids. Stay with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The funeral for George Floyd has taken place in Houston. The Reverend Al Sharpton spoke for about 40 minutes at the funeral.
There is an intentional neglect
to make people pay for taking our lives.
Reverend Sharpton said, those responsible must be punished.
Lives like George will not matter until somebody pays the cost.
He said, we're fighting wickedness in high places. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden appeared in a video message during the service. He spoke to Floyd's six-year-old daughter.
I know you have a lot of questions, honey. No child should have to ask questions that too many black children have had to ask for generations. Why? Why's Daddy gone?
This is USA Radio News. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy says up to 50 people can now get together inside and 100 outside following a decline in coronavirus numbers.
With more and more of our businesses reopening, we are no longer requiring you to stay at home, but we are asking you to continue to be responsible and safe.
People are wondering why protests are being allowed, but prayers are not. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is criticizing Democrat leaders at the state and local level for allowing mass protests but not opening places of worship. Speaking on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican says the inconsistency from leaders has been baffling because apparently protests are now permissible, but prayer is still too dangerous.
Politicians do not get to play red light, green light within the First Amendment. The Bill of Rights is not some a la carte menu that leaders may sample as they please.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owner population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
When you're in the middle of a pandemic, the coronavirus has to be a major threat to homeless teens, to abused people, but abused teenagers who find themselves in a very dark, dark place. Andy Berger joins us. She's the founder of Beulah's Place. She knows what this is like, and thank goodness for Beulah's Place. We're going to get into that in a second. Andy, thanks for popping on the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about your story first and Beulah's Place. You're so passionate about this because you live this. You're a survivor of childhood abuse, and you have written about your story and talked about it. But tell listeners who don't know what happened and what led you to where you are now.
Absolutely. Before there was a term, Kate, called human trafficking, I was sex trafficked by all immediate and extended family members from ages 6 months to 17 years old. And again, we're talking the 60s, early 70s, so people were barely talking about child abuse at the time, let alone anything, you know, more sinister. And so by the time I was five, the physical, mental, emotional, sexual torture, abuse, manipulation was so great. That was my first attempt at suicide as a young girl. I just wanted to be out. I just wanted it to be over.
Wow.
And, yeah, in that moment, you know, in my life, God interceded in other people's lives. It could be something else. But in that moment, somehow, I felt I had some kind of purpose or some kind of something if I could just stay alive long enough. And the last time my birth mother tried to take my life, I was 17. So it was a really, really long road.
And you get out of that place, and how do you get out of that place? How do you, for the young lifetime of what you went through, how did you get out of that?
I pursued education. I went to college. I finished my four-year degree in 3 years. I was the classic overachiever, pleaser, just leave me alone, you know, let me do what I need to do. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go to law school, and I'm going to save the world and all these other kids that were like me. And I got there, and I realized, yeah, no, that's not happening, because I saw a lot of things that just weren't the kind of justice I thought I would find. So I finished because I thought if I take my law to business, I can be more successful and hopefully develop, you know, a way to help kids on my own terms.
Yeah, so then it leads us to Beulah's Place. And tell us about Beulah's Place, which is an incredible refuge for these abused and homeless teens.
Yes, my husband and I co-founded that in 2008. We've been 100% volunteer-driven, and we rescue at-risk homeless teen boys and girls who have been trafficked, who have been sexually preyed upon or criminally preyed upon in any way, or sadly, they've just simply been discarded or kicked out for whatever reason. So they run to the streets for safety, and as you know, you and your listeners know, the streets are not safe for young people that are barely, you know, adult age.
Yeah, so now we're in this pandemic, and what's happening? I would think the threat is even more major now because of the coronavirus.
Absolutely. These kids, a lot of our kids, they lived in trees and old cars and abandoned or condemned, you know, structures, things like that when we get them. And so now imagine they're not living in any kind of sanitary condition to begin with. And now we have, you know, this virus out there, which for them, any health condition is dangerous, but these kids have no choice. They don't have medical plans. They don't have a way to just walk into urgent care and say, hey, you know, help me. They have no residential history, nothing to show for themselves because they've been on the streets. They may be carriers and not even know it. So they're either going to die or get worse, or hopefully, you know, if there's a miracle for them, you know, somebody intercedes like we tried to do, but we're still helping these youth regardless. And their main concerns are, can I eat today? Can I get clean today? Can I sleep today? Will somebody help me? Or am I going to die today?
Wow. So as somebody who is, I mean, such a big heart you have, obviously, and this is your passion to help other people in these terrible situations, it has to be rewarding, though, to see them come out on the other side, some of these boys and some of these girls. Is that what really keeps you going?
Absolutely. One less young person on the street means we have a chance for them to have a future, which means our communities across the nation and the world have a future when any of these kids survive and thrive. So we've had quite a number go to college. We have all of them graduating high school. We have them in jobs that they maintain. And so within 3 to 5 months in our safe house program, they are ready to go back to community with very minimal reliance on assistance. And so that is a win for all of us. They're consumers. They're renters. They're starting their own families in a much better way. Do they still have to deal with all the trauma? Of course, just like I did. But they have a better chance when they're fed and they're watered and they have someone that believes in them.
Yeah. We're speaking to Andy Berger, and she's written a book, too, called A Fragile Thread of Hope. And in this book, you talk about four different teens, at-risk teens, you know, taking them from the streets and then what happened. Tell us about one of those stories.
Sure. One of the, not all the stories are about traffic victims, but yes, this is a perfect example. So one of the girls, her father was the sexual violator and violated her from ages like 5 to 10. The mother finally divorced him, became an alcoholic, a raging alcoholic, met a boyfriend and would leave her daughter from ages 12 to 16 home alone with just frozen food in the freezer 6 days a week. And the only time the mother would come home or leave the boyfriend is when this girl attempted suicide, where she had to show up. And then she'd be home for a few days, and then it went back. So this girl, of course, in that time period, what do you think a young girl will do eventually? She'll hook up with friends that maybe don't have her best interest at heart. She had a woman approach her, you know, bought her presents, took her to lunch, and a few months later, hey, by the way, I have some friends. They're at a hotel down the road. I want you to come meet them. And there you have it. And so these things happen because these kids are disenfranchised. And, you know, it just is unfortunate. But when we got her, she did so well. These kids are smart. The ones that we rescue are very smart. They just need it channeled. And she has an incredible career at age 24 and has just really kicked butt in the world. So we're very proud of her and all the kids who make it.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, and again, that's their stories and surviving and thriving. I mean, that absolutely keeps you going. And I think people don't, and maybe I'm wrong about this, they hear little bits about trafficking and they hear about teenagers and homelessness and all the dangers of that. But I don't think they realize it's in their backyard. This is rampant in so many cities, isn't it?
Absolutely. Every single state in our union has documented cases. The traffickers are not necessarily what you see in the movies. That's, you know, a little bit more saleable. A lot of times it's the average Joe or average Jane that is a teacher like my birth mother was, or a salesperson like my birth father was, or, you know, they're in the community, they have a little house, they have a little family, it all looks normal, but yet they have this underlying business. They are borrowing or stealing product from other families, which is basically their children.
Wow. Wow. What can people do that are listening to this that are just being pulled into this story and now more aware? What can we do?
Well, something positive that they can do definitely is if they see something, say something. Go to your local law enforcement agency, find out what the parameters are on reporting. You can be active that way. A more passive approach, you know, buy the book because 45% of the proceeds go back to victims of child sex trafficking and child abuse. That would be helpful. You know, support an organization like Beulah's Place. Go to beulahsplace.org. Every dollar goes to programs. We have no staff. We have no personnel after 11 years. But we have a 92% success rate of these kids staying independent and moving on. So, you know, we must be doing something right. But they can help in so many ways. Or go to a local youth center, find out how you can help, or check with, you know, DHS or schools and say, is there, you know, anyone I can mentor? Things like that. Just get involved. Don't let the piercings or whatever it is, you know, throw you off, because these kids are looking for some kind of identity in our community.
Boy, and I think what you said is so true about the mentoring, especially because who can they look to? Where can you go? What can you see that you know is normal, that there is a path that you can grab onto? And the
exactly.
More mentors, the better, right?
Absolutely. Even a cup of coffee, you'd be amazed. When I first meet one of these young people, we sit down for coffee, tea, whatever, and of course they're a little reticent. You know, they don't trust right away. But, you know, I basically say, so what's going on in your life? You know, what's happening? You know, how can I help? What can I do? And make it about them and not, you know, any other agenda.
Yeah, wow. Andy, your story is so powerful. Thanks for everything that you're doing out there, fighting the good fight. Andy Berger, pick up the book and help some people. A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to Rescue. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, and so you know this. We talked about human trafficking before on this show. Many times we've talked about it, and her story is just so powerful. When you think of the abuse, as she mentioned, that she went through and getting out of that situation, getting the law degree, then moving on to try to help others. And human trafficking is, I had no idea until somebody made me aware of just how rampant it was in every single city, and not what you think it is. The exploitations of, you know, exploited teenagers of what happens to them, like I said, how they're being exploited is just absolutely sickening. So this is a serious problem. If there is a way that you can help and stop this cycle of the people, the nefarious people who are recruiting, enticing, harboring, transporting, providing, doing any of that kind of stuff towards human trafficking and targeting these homeless teenagers, please reach out and do that. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over, why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Corner. Excited to talk to Paul Lewis. He's written a book called After the Devastation. We had quite the conversation off the air. So without further ado, let's welcome him to the show. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Kate. Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure.
So let's talk about the book. And if we were to meet, let's say, on a plane or perhaps social distancing at a restaurant, and you said you had written a book, what would you tell me the book is about?
I'd say that it's a post-apocalyptic fantasy in which two people, a husband and wife called Aiden and Nora, become separated due to a nuclear war and environmental disaster. And the book is in three parts. Part one takes place in the near future, several years from now, whatever, in L.A., in Chicago, and in other places, northern Minnesota, New Mexico. Then part two of the book is 10 years after that, which is after the devastation that happens in part one. This is in New Mexico and northern Minnesota. And then there's a part three towards the end, which is in a kind of a reconfigured Europe, which is then called Europa. So that's kind of the general outline and sort of the bare bones of the book.
So in this novel, it's so interesting because, you know, we, in our minds, especially it used to be, but even now you think about, well, what would happen if there was some kind of a nuclear fallout, or what would we do, or what does that look like? And then you talk about it, you talk about those big cities, and then you take us to afterwards, 10 years later, in that part two. What was it like to write about that?
Well, it was a lot of fun, first of all. I really enjoyed the whole process. And part of the fun was, you know, just kind of getting to know the characters, the two main characters, Aiden and Nora. What happens basically is that, you know, they're together at least for part of part one, but then they get separated, and in part two they're living these separate lives, kind of unbeknownst to one another, that the other is even alive. And so you see these two remnants of what had been, I guess you might say, American society, which are now kind of living their own reconfigured life in these isolated areas. And, you know, in the process, each one of these characters gets to know the people who continue to live in those areas, and each character also learns about themselves. They learn their own path towards maturity, towards opening their minds and their hearts to other people, while dealing with all of the usual problems that society and people have to deal with, the factionalism, the politics, whether it be petty politics or just, you know, larger kind of group politics, and all of these kinds of issues that everybody has to deal with remain after the devastation. I was almost surprised, in a sense, to discover that in the process of the writing and in the process of getting to know Nora and Aiden, that that human nature, in a sense, doesn't change all that much, even though the outer circumstances may change a lot. The kinds of the inner conflicts and feelings and ideas and joys and desires that people have kind of remain the same, and we have to deal with those things even after a devastation.
Oh, yeah. We're speaking with Paul Lewis. He's the author of this novel, After the Devastation, that we're speaking about. I love that you said getting to know the characters. That's a true writer, Aiden and Nora, and watching their development. Did you feel like you were born to do this and tell this story?
I don't know if I was born to do it, but maybe I grew into it myself, just in a sense like Nora and Aiden did. It's interesting how the story, in a sense, came to me, if I can tell that story for a moment.
Sure.
I used to work at a university for a long time here in California, where I live, California State University, Long Beach. And I was an administrator there, and I was coming to the time when I was going to retire, and that was great. I had a wonderful time working at the university, and but was ready to retire, too, because I thought, you know, I've always wanted to write, and I've always done some writing, but now here was a great chance to do it full-time. But about a month before I retired, I had a really strong dream one night that just woke me right up. I mean, it's like a jolt. And I remember it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got up and I wrote the dream down. And the dream was essentially an outline of those three parts that I mentioned earlier and an introduction to Nora and Aiden. So I came to these characters, or they came to me, which however you want to say it, in a dream. And the process then of writing the book once I retired a month later was the process of getting to know, getting to understand, getting to really, I guess, love, you could say, Nora and Aiden. And in the process of writing that, then they kind of introduced me to the many other characters who are in the book. I mean, the book has lots and lots of characters in all of these settings. And I feel like I got to know these other characters through the mediation of Nora and Aiden. It was a really fascinating and and kind of joyful experience.
Boy, and it's, you can hear that in your voice. You can hear the passion for that. I love that you had that dream. Do you remember what you took before you went to bed? Because everybody listening to this would love to have those dreams.
Oh, a glass of milk, I guess.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best. We're speaking with Paul Lewis. You got to pick up his novel. It's so well done, After the Devastation. And so, you know, you do this novel, you delve into the characters, and you put it out in the world. What do you hope people take away from reading this novel?
Well, I guess the very first thing I hope is that people enjoy it as just a good read. Because, I mean, if something isn't a fun story, isn't a story that grabs you and makes you want to read it, then what's the point? But beyond that, I mean, everybody wants that for their story, of course. Beyond that, the specifics of this book, I mean, let's face it, global climate change is an enormous problem these days, and will be nothing but a bigger and bigger problem. So I hope that if a person reads this book, they will come away with a greater awareness of global climate change and all the issues connected with it and how we can best respond to it. I hope that they'll learn ways, you know, how to creatively and positively help the planet and help each other. You know, at the same time, we know, you know, we can't change the crisis instantly, but we have to make decisions now as to how we can best do that, both as individuals and as a larger society. So I hope people I'm sure many already have been thinking about these things, but they'll focus on some of these kinds of issues that get raised in the book about, you know, how you deal with life that has been disrupted essentially by our own foolishness, really, in the past of misusing the planet, and come to a greater understanding and desire to treat the planet properly and with respect and even with love.
Oh, what a great sentiment. Perfect place to end this, except for I have one last one. It's so well done. Are you going to write more books?
I hope I will. One idea I've had is to write a sequel to this book. There are some characters at the end that you know, I won't go into now. There's no time. But also, I hope that somebody will just, you know, read about it themselves, and I might take up from one or two of the characters that get introduced towards the end to see what happens next. Could I also say just quickly that I have a website that if people want to go to, they can actually read an excerpt from the book. It's at paulmlewis.com.
paulmlewis.com. Perfect. So you get a sneak peek, and that will intrigue you, and go get the book. Paul, thank you so much.
Kate, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.